If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment, and that's what we're going to do. Magical Engineer Frank is ready. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about, first part of the show, what's happened to asthma? Yeah. Some new research on it. What do you suppose has happened, Frank? Well, we're going to find out. And we got some other stuff, Quack Report, all this good stuff ready to roll. But before we get that done, we have to give what, Frank? It's Frank says asthma's been renamed No, it's not COVID. It's not COPD. Asthma still is asthma. But something's happened. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But before we get to all that good stuff, we have to give a glory to the Heavenly Father above. And so our devotional puts us in Proverbs 28, where it says, "He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse." Well, you know what they were saying? They were saying on the news today that, you know, the food banks are going to be kind of sparse because the cost of food's gone up, so people aren't giving as much. But I don't know. I mean, it's easy to give, isn't it? You can check out at the grocery store, and they have those little combination boxes for the poor, and I think they're $5. You know, so you can always, you know, grab a couple of those, and they actually pick them up at the grocery store, so you don't even have to do anything, you know. So, I mean, it's simple to give to the poor or to the food bank. Just remember those in need, especially now. It's cold out there. And, you know, I think about this when they were saying the shelters during COVID, a lot of them got closed down, and they weren't given hot meals. They couldn't even get a hot cup of coffee. Frank, that's sad. You know, I love to wrap my fingers around a nice, you know, warm cup of tea. It's soothing. You know, it's wonderful. So I just think of that for the homeless, that they can't have something warm and soothing. That's bad. So let's pray against that they have what they need, especially now. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack report, here come the tattoo marks. Remember we reported on that earlier, last year? Yeah, scientists are stamping children, what they want to anyway, with invisible ink to prove they've been vaccinated, so they don't have to dig up medical records. They can just scan the child. So this is from, where's this? Institute of Technology, MIT, Massachusetts. They announced they have completed a tattoo technology to be put into childhood vaccinations. It's a microchip which is implanted directly under the skin, and it's designed to be invisible to the naked eye, but it's picked up with a special mobile phone filter, and the dye is visible when it's scanned. It lasts up to 5 years. The dye is detected under scan, infrared light. Black light probably pick it up too. And it's gonna say that the child that has up to date with his records, his vaccination records. So the system, they're saying, they don't have to worry about clerical errors or any of that. They just scan the child. This is reported in the Scientific American. This was a study under the Science Translational Medicine Journal. So we've been, it's kind of Bill Gates linked and all that stuff. We've been talking about that for a while, but there you go. MIT's like ready to go. Next up in the quacker, Oklahoma National Guard says no to the Biden vaccine mandate. The Pentagon promises to look into it and respond appropriately. This is Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma. He got replaced by Army Major General Michael Thompson with Army Brigadier General Thomas Mancino. So now the state's National Guard no longer has to get the vaccinated mandate taken care of. They don't have to do that. No negative administrative or legal action will be taken against any guardsman who refuses the COVID-19 vaccine, according to Marciano's memo that went out recently. He says, we're aware. Oh, this was from the Pentagon. This is, from the Pentagon spokesman John Kirby. He said, we're aware of the memo for the Oklahoma General National Guard, and we will respond appropriately. So, whatever that means. So, yeah, some people standing up. There's a lot of people standing up all over the place. Last but not least in the quacker, scientists now are developing mRNA vegetables. You may have heard about this. This is really pitiful. This is a research for the University of California, Riverside. This was in the Science Foundation, National Science Foundation publication, and they gave $500,000 of taxpayer money. It's a grant to scientists at University of California, Riverside, to genetically modify and put mRNA technology into our fruits and vegetables. So the future, they say, of vaccines may look more like eating a salad than getting a shot in the arm. What do you think of that, Frank? Ooh, that's what Jules Bernson, a school announcement on the project, said about this research. So ideally, a single plant, they said, would produce enough mRNA to vaccinate a single person. That's Juan Giraldo, associate professor at the University of California. one plant. He says, we're testing this approach with spinach and lettuce and have long-term goals of people growing their own in their gardens. And farmers could also eventually grow entire fields of it. Cringe. I won't be growing in my garden. You can just forget that. Nope. You're changing God's copyright. And you know what? No wonder the Bible said in the latter days, if God didn't intervene, no flesh would be saved alive. Look what they're doing. Science. Or thusly they're called. What, Frank? Vaccinated against what? Seeing that we, now see it doesn't even work. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are asking that question now. Nobody knows what's going on. They don't know if it works, it doesn't work. They know exactly what they're doing. People just are starting to believe the unconscionable, what they didn't want to think about. That's what's happening. Oh, well, God's still on his throne. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay. We are going to find out what the heck is going on with asthma. We've talked about asthma before, but this is some new stuff. Thought we'd go over it. So this is a recent report out of the Medical News Today, and they were stating that asthma has been around, for thousands of years, but has recently changed in the modern world. Well, that's interesting. In one way has asthma changed. Now, ancient writings from Hippocrates describe the condition, as well as ancient healers in China 2,600 years ago. So asthma affects more than, 26 million people in the United States, and out of that, maybe 6 million of them are children. So an astonishing statistic, though, from the World Health Organization stated that asthma has increased 60% since the 1980s. Now, that is quite a jump. So what could be causing this disease to be so prevalent among modern society? Well, we're going to find out. So what is asthma really? Well, it is not too difficult to spot an asthma attack if you see it. The unfortunate individual that suffers from a recurrent asthma attacks will have wheezing, coughing, shortness of breath, and the attacks can be mild or severe when their airway to the lungs becomes blocked or clogged with a bunch of mucus. So if the blockage is not removed quickly, suffocation can occur. So modern medicine lists the cause of asthma as chronic inflammation and thickening of the bronchial and nasal passages. So the inflammation triggers, these muscle spasms that further constrict the air passages, making breathing extremely difficult. And most medications used by asthma patients tend to reduce the inflammation caused by asthma, but long-term use can offer some side effects to that, the corticosteroid stuff. Well, let's look into the modern asthma, because this article in the Modern Medical News Today said that asthma today is different from the ancient forms. So could it mean the diagnosis of the disease has changed? Well, here is an interesting statement from their report. They said, quote, doctors and medical figures have been aware of asthma since ancient Greece, and what they know about not only the treatments but the disease itself has changed dramatically alongside medical technology. Well, all right, so it's changed. Okay, let's see. So ancient documents. Now, in ancient Egypt, they documented asthma. They also described the breathless symptoms and the distress. And it was Hippocrates who wrote about the possible link between asthma and environmental stimulus. Hippocrates noticed that people who worked in specific trades often had the condition, especially those working with metals, metallurgy and things like that. So a physician now, in 100 AD, Aurelius Cappadocia in Greece, wrote the modern definition of asthma that's still used today. And his prescription, though, was drinking owl's blood with wine. Well, that whole thing's has been forgotten. We're not going to do that. So, but the Romans also figured out if a person with asthma took bee pollen, it worked like epinephrine and relieved the symptoms. Interesting. So in 1892, Sir William Osler, who, by the way, was the co-founder of John Hopkins Medical School, he noted that asthma ran in families and started in childhood. He wrote of the triggers such as climate conditions, emotional trauma, and diet. Well, let's look at some of the environmental triggers that have been documented by science. Things like perfume, people smell perfume, any kind of fragrance. I know walking down the detergent aisle at the grocery store can be a nightmare for people with asthma, can trigger stuff. They must hold their breath as they walk down there, grab their soap and leave. They have to. Also, fireplace smoke, tobacco smoke, kerosene heater, carbon emissions all can pretty much trigger that. Now, children without asthma, though, who live with parents who smoke, tend to have a 50% increased risk of respiratory dysfunction, like getting bronchitis and pneumonia, ear infections, and increased risk of respiratory problems as they age. They also have an increased risk of behavior problems as well. Now, other non-chemical triggers for asthma are things like stress, trauma, cold fronts, you know, climate change, as mentioned, and noise. Now let's look at some of the food triggers, might as well. Certain foods tend to bring on asthma attacks, and the most common foods will be eggs, certain types of fish or shellfish, nuts, chocolate, and Coca-Cola. Now, a study that was done by Hammersmith Hospital in London found that Coke triggers asthma anywhere from 1 hour to 4 days after it's consumed. Now, somehow, the Coke product increases the sensitivity to histamine. This was a study out of the Netherlands that found that some foods can offer a late onset or delayed trigger to asthma, taking anywhere from 48 to 56 hours to engage in an asthmatic response. Now, patients who avoid such foods for at least 6 to 12 months decrease their asthma attacks by 93%. Now, MSG is also among the big additive asthma culprits in food, so you got to read your labels. And processed milk products are also a risk for those with asthma, whereas the organic, unprocessed milk that the Amish consume seem to be free of asthma risk. Interesting, isn't it? Well, let's look at modern asthma. So today, now research is pointing to something else that is the reason for asthma and its changes. Now today, science is saying asthma is an immune system response problem. Do tell. So they also think that the spike in the asthma deaths since the 1960s is due to the drug therapies for the condition. Let me read you another quote from Medical News Today. They say, it is an epidemic of mortality from asthma, and we've taken into account the standards of treatment and previous research to see how asthma has been reshaped. Reshaped. Interesting term. So in the 1980s, medicine focused on the inflammation aspect of the condition, issuing patients an inhaler full of corticosteroids to relieve attacks, and this was a temporary control of the symptoms. Today, science is discovering that there has been a change in the immune system. What do you think of that, Frank? So the lung tissue that communicates with the T cells has changed, and it's causing the inflammation, they're saying. So they may be on the right track, but medical science is not ever going to be able to tolerate the reason for this change. Not ever, Frank, which would be vaccines and steroid treatments. Here is a quote from the report, Medical News Today. Asthma remains a complex and untreatable condition. Well, if you think that way, you're never going to find the cure. Let's look at how it's been reshaped, shall we? Now, Frank, let's go down that road. They're tinkering with the immune system and the mechanics of the immune system. So science has been researching the human immune system to find ways to heavily influence it. Now, currently in the United States, 1 in 10 children suffer from asthma. One ingredient often included in your childhood vaccines is yeast protein, and it's known to cause breathing problems. So the vaccines containing approximately 1 milligram to 5 milligram of yeast protein are your HEB vaccine, which is your influenza B type vaccines, your hepatitis B vaccine, your Pediarix vaccine, which is combined with the HEPB and the DPT, which is your diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and polio vaccine. Also, your Twinix vaccine, which is an adult vaccine for hepatitis and hepatitis A and B, as well as HPV, the papilloma virus vaccine. So these all have these yeast proteins in them. Let me read you a quote from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. They said, the antigen used in the yeast recombatant vaccine, such as hepatitis B, is derived from a culture of common baker's yeast, and quantities of the yeast protein exist within the vaccine serum. The vaccine prepared in yeast can be induced, it can induce allergic reactions to the yeast protein. Such vaccines, these products called anti-yeast IgG antibody immune cells. So they're creating it, basically. So according to this website, vaccinesafety.edu, they say the vaccine safety website has a list of ingredients that there are quantities of vaccines that may reference your interest with your asthma. So you can go to vaccinesafety.edu and you want to click on components and acceptance and see what the list is. Now, this was also out of a journal, which is the research of linking HIV vaccination to asthma in 1992. It was written by a pharmacist called Heidi White. And she said, a nasal HIV vaccine has been shown to stimulate TH1 and TH2 cells in mice. If the TH2 side of the immune system is overstimulated, this can increase the risk of allergies and asthma. Okay, so what they've done is they've influenced the immune system cells. Remember, the T cells aren't communicating properly, especially in the lung area. So they've messed up the immune system of the lungs with these vaccines. And, you know, they know it, but they don't want to admit it, and they don't think you'll ever know it, so they'll talk down to you and they'll confuse you with jargon. But here it is. You just follow the breadcrumbs in these articles. They write about it. So now here's something. The law firm Lauren DeMichael and Associates did a study using the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System database, and what they found was that many children react adversely to vaccines containing hollow yeast. The problem they found was that the hepatitis B vaccine, which is often given to infants at the same time as the HIV vaccine, also with yeast, they discovered that there was twofold magnitude in allergy and asthma generated when these were given, and they made this occur. Now, this was a study by Dr. David Phillips. He says, do the DPT and tetanus vaccinations cause asthma? And he wrote, it appeared also in the PubMed 2000 issue, and it revealed that the vaccines not containing yeast also cause allergies and asthma. So it's not just the yeast proteins, he's saying. Here's what he said. A child who has had the DPT vaccination is 50% more likely to experience severe allergic reactions, and over 80% are susceptible to sinusitis. They are also twice as likely to suffer from asthma. Let's see. And this is from This is from UCLA School of Public Health Department of Epidemiology publication 2000, and the scientist is Hurwitz Morgenstern. He says, the odds of having a history of asthma was twice as great among vaccinated subjects than among unvaccinated. This is why the Amish, they don't have any vaccine. I mean, they don't have any asthma because they don't do the vaccines. Isn't that something? Why don't any Amish kids have asthma? Does anybody ever ask that? Now, in 1997, a report was published in the Pulse magazine, and it stated that the whooping cough vaccine increased the likelihood of hay fever, eczema, and asthma by 50%. This was a report by Dr. Julian Hopkin of Churchill Hospital of Oxford, stating in his research showed that the pertussis vaccine and antibiotic use within 2 years of a child's life will increase their risk of severe allergies and asthma and hay fever and eczema. Well, I mean, you know, what kid before the age of 5 doesn't have an ear infection and the doctors pump antibiotics into them, right? Right. Let's see. This is another quote. This is from Lawrence Hoberman, medical doctor, gastroenterologist in San Antonio, Texas. He said, in the 19th century, hay fever, allergic rhinitis, and asthma were rare compared to today. The rise in allergies over the past 30 years has been threefold. And this rise in allergies is not seen in underdeveloped countries. Why not? Well, the same thing with the Amish. See, there's been much debate over the question of vaccines causing asthma and allergies, autism, and so forth. So now here's a quote, though, by a scientist at Johns Hopkins Medical Institute. This is Dr. Peter Kratosis, I can't even pronounce his last name, Kratosis, I guess it's Kratosis. Science Daily Journal, March 26, 2001. Human traits of new vaccine technique prove promising for allergy sufferers. He says this, for years, efforts to develop improved vaccines for asthma and allergies have been thwarted because the vaccines themselves often cause the very symptoms a person is trying to avoid. In some of these vaccines, however, they contain antigens so strong that even a smaller dose can cause an allergic reaction and can be as severe and even life-threatening. Ow! Even a smaller dose can really mess you up. Wow. Ergo, the boosters give you small doses of poison. Let's see, this is a quote. I love these quotes. This is Young June, MD, Mayo Clinic, Children's Research Center, Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology, December 2015, says adults with asthma are at a 70% higher risk of developing shingles, and we think asthma may suppress adaptive immunity and increase risk of shingles. Well, that's because their immunity's been screwed up by childhood vaccines, Doc. That's a why. Well, I say let's fight back. One way to create a healthy and powerful immune system is to have a healthy diet. Make sure your immune system gets supported with the medicinal herbs that are designed to do that. And detox your system. Oh, am I long in the break, Frank? I'm long in the break. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back and finish this and jump into more stuff. We'll be right back.
32 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Back here on Herb Talk. Thank you, Frank. All right, so we were just talking about, you know, what happened to asthma. And I think modern medicine has made the condition worse, more virulent, more of a problem, and, you know, passes it on, you know, genetically, you know, since they're messing with now your genetic code. But anyway, you know, cleanse and nourish, get the toxins out, the mucus out that tends to be a stumbling block. Obviously, asthmatics shouldn't be eating milk, butter, cheese, white sugar. Those will exacerbate their condition. And cleanse and nourish, that's what I say. And there's also an herb that helps dilate the bronchial for easier breathing. Asthmatics love it. Smokers like it a lot, too. And it's an herb called lobelia. And you most likely won't find it in stores much, but it works best, I think, in a liquid form. And the problem is most companies won't mess with it because you got to age it in 2 different catalysts in order to get all 16 alkaloids out of the plant so it works right. So a lot of people, you know, companies don't want to do that. So, but guess what? Apothecary Herbs does. They have that. So it's called Relaxation Formula if you want to look it up on their website at thepowerherbs.com. Or if you want to give a call to them and get their free catalog, the number's 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., the number is 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. You're taking the power back. Also, they're having their sale. This is the last week of the sale. It ends this Friday on the 19th, so it's 25% off orders of $50 or more. Details on the homepage, or you can just use coupon code THANKS21 when you call to order, or put it on your order form. ThePowerHerbs.com, getting powered, that's what it's about. All right, we're going to shift gears. And are you doing anything special for Thanksgiving this year, Frank? Are you cooking? I'm cooking, apparently. I found out I'm cooking more food today than I thought I was. We got more people coming, so that's okay. I like cooking. You know, I'll have a little vino and I'll cook and, you know, it'll be nice. So, you know, coming up to the holidays, you know, you're going to be traveling. Want to keep that immune system strong. So I would call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They got some nice things, nip it in the bud stuff. So you definitely want to check it out, thepowerherbs.com. All right, we're going to be talking about some cleanses, but in this section, we're going to be talking about medicine likes to cleanse with machines. You know, instead of herbs, they want to use machines. What do you think, Frank? You want to be hooked up to a machine, do your cleansing? Yeah, don't have to do herbs. You can do the machine. Well, you know, toxicity in the human body has become a real problem in modern life, and the medical science is actually building machines to treat it. A major organ of the body that machines they use to clean are the blood system. You know, when you got renal or kidney disease, you hooked up dialysis machine. So many people really don't identify the blood as really an organ because they don't know it contains tissue. But everyone is aware that dialysis machines do help cleanse the blood when the kidneys are starting to fail. So now science, though, has developed a machine to cleanse the blood from bacterial infections like E. coli. So scientific medicine is saying that 8 million Americans die from blood poisoning or sepsis each year. It's a bacterial infection. It's acquired while maybe they're in the hospital or other medical facilities. Maybe you're getting a dental treatment that doesn't go well. And its leading cause of death in hospitals is really sepsis. So it's the most difficult and expensive thing to treat to date. So, but our creator didn't expect us to use machines. There's another way to cleanse the blood, though. We're going to talk about it. Well, let's look at blood infections. And by the way, there's such a thing as death by toothache. So never let a sepsis, you know, an abscess tooth go because it could lead to sepsis. So never let that go. Always go get that treated. Now, sepsis can pollute the body, can pollute the organs, and then it causes the organs to shut down. So sepsis is a very serious condition. You want to seek treatment. And yes, it is life-threatening, and symptoms are things like fever and low blood pressure. Now, symptoms can actually mimic meningitis, which is an inflamed lining of your brain, and even encephalitis, which is an inflammation of the brain. Now, hospitals are reporting a steady increase in sepsis by threefold over the last 10 years. So, for example, in 2000, the CDC mentioned maybe 621,000 cases, but by 2008, that number jumped to over 1,141,000 cases. So sepsis outnumbers cardiovascular hospital admissions. That's crazy. But in the United States alone, sepsis outnumbers the death by breast cancer, prostate, and AIDS combined. So sepsis is serious stuff. Now, what are the high-risk groups? Well, several areas of society are going to be at greater risk of contracting sepsis, and as usual, it includes the young and the old, and the statistics are showing that males, more than females, contract sepsis. So babies can contract bacterial sepsis during delivery, and nursing homes report more sepsis than any other area. Now, abuse in the nursing homes has increased by 30%, and that increases the chances of sepsis. Diabetes is another group of people that are high risk of sepsis, and according to the Mayo Clinic, many people can develop sepsis. Now, sepsis occurs during a bacterial infection, but can also occur when a body has waste material that it's produced, and then it can't remove those toxic levels. So the waste accumulates. Now, according to the Mayo Clinic, it has just described really how important it is to keep your toxins out of the body and having a free flow of them leaving the body to avoid these toxic overloads, okay? That's why cleanse and nourish is real important. It's an old, ancient way to being healthy, but it works. So let's look at what it looks like. If you're on the road to sepsis, what does that look like? So there are a lot of risk factors that can create a blood infection like sepsis. So here are some of them. We've already talked about diabetes, and then there's cancer, AIDS, kidney failure, of course, liver disease, burn patients. You know, they get really bad burns, severe trauma cases, pregnancy, leaky gut or leaky blood vessels. How about abnormal blood clots and inflammatory diseases, congested organs, and influenza, pneumonia, meningitis, malaria, urinary tract infections. Well, urinary tract infections, if you let that go, that could infect your kidneys, cause a problem, see, and then the kidneys aren't filtering the blood, and wham, you got sepsis. Also, skin infections like cellulitis, appendicitis, especially if it ruptures, use of catheters. Invasive medical procedures can put you at risk of sepsis. Dirty hospital equipment that's inserted into you as a patient, nasty stuff. Also, those in confined healthcare settings like nursing homes, and pandemic-like infections like Ebola, dengue fever. These are the hemorrhagic type of fevers and can really put you at risk of sepsis. So what are some of the causes? Well, if you're asking what would increase the sepsis risk, if you have a disease, or maybe is it maybe more hygiene related or neglect? Well, according to modern medicine's clinical assessments, they report that the contributing factors to including a rise in your risk of sepsis would be blood poisoning. Sepsis is 7 to 10-fold higher than normal, and due to a combination of factors. So it's usually not just one thing. Things like an aging population, increases in chronic diseases, unnecessary surgical interventions or evasive procedures, poor socioeconomic conditions, immune suppressive and chemotherapy treatments, as well as overuse of antibiotics that create the spread of drug-resistant organisms. So, you know, medicine has its part in increasing the risk of sepsis. So now here's a journal article, May 2014. This was in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and they were saying that a whopping 50% of the hospital deaths were linked to sepsis. 50%. So they figured that at least 10% of all the hospital patients going to develop sepsis. That's what they thought. But whoa, were they shocked when 50% popped up. And the CDC ran the numbers, and they found that 750,000 U.S. hospital patients actually had sepsis. The Agency for Healthcare Research found this accounted for 25% of all hospital charges. Ooh. So sepsis is a big moneymaker for the hospital. Think about it. It's a quarter of their income. Think about that, Frank. So let's talk about these machines for a minute, because anyone that has had a family member, friend, or even themselves, if they receive dialysis, they're going to be aware that it is almost an all-day treatment. It's like 6 hours. And this is no way to spend the rest of your life sitting in a chair watching a machine filter dirty blood. Now, however, modern medicine is saying that blood infections or sepsis is becoming a real problem and has a high mortality rate of 30%. So sepsis is a gram-positive bacterial infection caused by numerous pathogens with the common one is E. coli. A fungus can also be in there too. So therefore, the machine has been created as a device designed to improve mortality rates for people that are living with blood illnesses. Now, scientists, physicians, engineers, Harvard's Weiss Institute of Biomechanical Engineering have all created a device called the BioSpleen. The BioSpleen. Okay. So what is that? The BioSpleen was developed and tested on animals in 2014, and according to the Harvard team, it exceeded expectations in helping animals survive after being infected with E. coli bacteria. So the report specified that the BioSpleen machine operates at the speed of a dialysis machine, and therefore it takes as long as 4 to 6 hours to clean the blood. So the research was published in the September 2014 Journal of Nature Machine, and most of the sepsis is from unsanitary and improperly cleaned medical equipment. Oh, man. If you ever worked at a hospital, Frank, and seen how they do stuff there, oh, right? Just really sloppy. Sloppy. Now, this is what the medical science is doing when a problem is created by them, and then they sell you a new solution. What about, improving the sanitation, for one thing, getting the right cleaning chemicals, because the bean counters that run the hospitals, those would be the accountant and business guys. They don't want to spend the money on the right chemicals, so they'll just, throw some stuff on the janitor's shelf there. But it may not be adequate to clean things in a hospital. Now, antibiotic treatments for sepsis or fungus, it can possibly work if the pathogens are identified and the medication is designed to kill that specific pathogen. Otherwise, the treatments are unsuccessful and testing can take 2 to 15 days, which, in that time, the patient's dead, typically. So drug-resistant pathogens are also a challenge for medicine. According to Dr. Don Ingber of Weiss Institute, the BioSpleen works like a dialysis machine and removes living and dead tissue as well as microbes and toxins. And he goes on to say that this BioSpleen is designed like a human spleen and contains microarchitecture, it's an interesting term, as a series of interwoven type channels to carry the filter blood. So the machine uses a saline solution to filter the blood and nano-sized magnets coated with a lectin protein similar to protein used by immune system cells. And the protein binds to the pathogen or the bacteria or the fungi to remove it from the blood. And they have also tested the BioSpleen on human blood in lab settings to remove over 90% of pathogens. However, the machine does not reduce mortality all by itself. According to the Harvard researcher, Todd Farnart, he says drugs would also be given to patients while they're on the machine. According to October 2015 journal article of Biomaterials, it says, using the device alongside antibiotics can quickly bring blood back to normal conditions, curtailing inflammatory responses rather than exacerbating them. End of quote. A BioSpleen. Well, what does this cost if you had to be hooked up to this BioSpleen? Well, treating sepsis, like I said, most expensive. And if you're in the United States, hospitals, treating sepsis, it costs $24 billion a year for hospitals to treat sepsis in the United States. And this care increases by 12% a year because it's expensive. Now, to give you a kind of an idea of the treatment costs, if you were to get a biospleen, it's going to be in hospitals only, emergency dialysis kind of thing. It's about $10,000, to be hooked up to that thing. Bam! Right on the hospital bill. I'm ordering a biospleen, doctor, whatever, and it's $10,000 right on your hospital bill. Well, the Agency for Healthcare Research says this, the costs related to sepsis, including long-term substantial care, including rehabilitation, delayed return to work, and family support network, making the cost to be huge, end of quote. And then this is Texas Tech University Health Science. They say sepsis is one of the most costly diseases in healthcare. It is. It's kind of a long-term care. You're in intensive care a while, and then you're in step-down rehab a while, and then you're sent home, but you're still on a lot of drug therapy. So examples of medically induced infections. Let's look at that. Now, there was a man who contracted a very nasty infection after a catheter treatment at a local hospital. He had pain upon urination, and after a course of antibiotics, the condition worsened, and he lost all sexual function. The gentleman was panicked at what medical science wanted to do to him next, so he looked at other therapies. He learned that he could use garlic and juniper berries to cleanse the urinary tract of bacterial, viral, and fungal infections. After his pain was gone, he went on to cleanse the prostate using a combination of herbs, and his sexual function returned. He did what the doctors couldn't, actually. So I guess the rule is don't be afraid to research your options here. So this person acted and did not wait for the infection to become septic. Okay? And sepsis promotes widespread inflammation. If the infection is not cleared, the person goes into shock and soon dies within 2 days. Because the infection goes to all the organs, and the organs start shutting down. So sepsis can get out of hand quickly. So if you're going to do something, do it, whichever it is. If you're going the mainstream medical way, or you're going the alternative therapy way, just, don't sit on the fence. It's not a good thing. So it really kind of blows people's minds when they learn simple solutions can resolve very complicated problems. And sepsis is scary. It's like cancer, really. It's scary to people. And who believes that they haven't had the ability to deal with these issues or even prevent them on their own? People are told there's nothing you can do about it. Science has no cure. So if science has no cure, there's nothing we can do about it. Are you sure? Are you absolutely certain there's nothing to be done? See, science isn't going to do anything about it if it doesn't make them a ton of money. So they're not going to educate you about a natural solution for something. So a majority of the cases can be turned around using your natural antibiotic type of immune support herbs, that also herbs that detoxify the system of infectious pathogens. So God has provided these tools for you. Right? And guess what? He says, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. They're for everybody. They're not for a select few to use. They're not for a select few to control. God gave them to man. That's everybody. Everybody. That's your God-given right. See? And God spoke it. So it's a done. So, I have often actually stated, organ cleansing, including even your blood cleansing steps, is a natural way to avoid a lot of conditions that may prompt sepsis to take hold. So I also feel diabetics are at a great risk of becoming sepsis, because they, if they get enough toxins, you know, accumulating in their blood, you know, they can become sepsic in a short while. So a lot of your herbal organ cleanses are a very natural way to sweep the system of all these impurities, like heavy metals, pharmaceutical residues, E. coli, cancer cells, radioactive particles, pesticides, anything toxic and that's accumulating in the system that's going to be detrimental. So, and a lot of these cleansing herbs may be on the bitter side, and that's because they're strong. They're strong. So this natural approach to prevention and wellness is an ancient one. It's really old. But it's worth the effort. It doesn't take much effort. It's not rocket science. You know, you just got to do it. So if you want to learn how to do that, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, because that's what they specialize in, is organ cleansing and immune boosting and metabolic support. And they have the products to cleanse bowel to blood system. If you want to do that, system organ cleansing is what we call it. And they have a lot of immune boosting formulas and other things. Now, they offer a blood cleanse, okay? But there's restrictions and exceptions to blood cleansing, okay? So we like to cleanse the system in the way the body cleanses the body. We don't want to work against the system. We want to work with it. So this is how your body cleanses. Your body will take impurities from the blood and filter them through the liver. The liver neutralizes them with enzymes. It also they'll go through the kidneys, but eventually these toxins will work their way down to the bowel and urinary to leave the body. Okay. So when you cleanse, you start with the last stop of toxin removal and you work back up. So you start with bowel, then kidney, bladder, urinary, and then liver, gallbladder, and blood system is last. This way you have this free flow of toxins leaving the system, and you don't have the risk of toxins accumulating and backing up into the system and not making you feel too well. So you want to work with the system, not against it. There are exceptions to blood cleansing, like for venomous bites, any kind of toxicity or poisoning. You can use it in a short burst. But typically we save it last when we're doing cleansing. So you'll learn all this stuff. The folks at Apothecary Herbs like to educate you fine folks out there. So there are herbs that have natural inhibitors to Ebola, those hemorrhagic fevers. There's herbs that will inhibit shingles, the zoster virus, and all kinds of viruses. So you just didn't know there was tools out there that did that. So gentian root inhibits Ebola or your hemorrhagic fevers. Yeah. So a lot of people didn't know that. You know what else they don't know? Gentian root is used to make alcohol, in some cases, vermouth. Yeah, they didn't know that either. So you got herbs, you got tools, you just have to have the right tool and the right instruction to use them. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They'll send you their free product catalog. The number's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address, ThePowerHerbs.com. Don't forget, there's sales going on. It ends Friday the 19th, so save 25% now on orders of $50 or more using their coupon THANKS21. So use it online, over the phone, or on your order form. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to designed to treat, diagnose, disease. So seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.